Tonight's episode of the Paranormal 360 with Dave Schrader is brought to you by Keith the Insurance Guy, helping you and your family save big on health coverage without sacrificing quality. Call 612-230-5522 and start saving now. It began as a parlor game, a mysterious board, a sliding planchette, a promise. Ask a question, and the spirits may answer. But the moment Hollywood lays eyes on it, Ouija became something else entirely. An icon of fear, fascination, and phantoms. Tonight on the Paranormal 360, I'm joined by Robert Murch, the world's foremost collector, historian, and expert on all things Ouija and talking boards. Together, we're going to explore the strange crossroads where pop culture and the paranormal collide. From boardrooms to bedrooms, from seances to the silver screen. What role has Hollywood played in shaping our fears around Ouija? We're unlocking the board next, right here on the Paranormal 360 with Dave Schrader. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Robert Murch. Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
You know, it's I love having you join me. I love having the opportunity for us to get together and talk about Ouija, all things strange and supernatural. But I do want to kind of set the stage for people that might be unfamiliar with you or your ties. You love Ouija. You love collecting. You love learning the history. But you don't necessarily lean into the fact that it's tapping into real ghosts or supernatural phenomena. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed over the years because like anything else, the more you play with something, the more you use it, the more you learn and meet other people who share their experiences. And I've gotten a chance to work at some of your conventions and then also, you know, hang out with you. And I think I've learned a lot from you and your listeners. Ouija works. There's no doubt about it. It does. Mm-hmm. How and why it works, I think, is pretty dependent upon the situation, the people that are playing, their intentions. There's a lot that goes on. And you know this, Steve, once you add people to an equation or any scientific experiment, it blows it up because there's no way to keep it as tight as you need it to make a real scientific, you know, decision. But I think that's the point with Ouija. It's not supposed to prove whether there's life or death. It's mostly the try before you buy kind of thing or try before you die. It gets you comfortable with a conversation that is really scary to a lot of us.
Ouija board and iterations of talking boards have been around much, much longer than anything in Hollywood, right? I mean, what's the oldest form we can find of a talking board?
Sure. Talking boards in the form that we think of them, with a separate pointer that you place your fingertips on and you ask a question. That's really, you know, the planchette itself, a separate device at one time, is about 1850. So that allowed you to write out your answers. And quickly, people saw that heart-shaped device and said, wait a minute, I can't read my own handwriting normally. When I write it out with this thing, it is just clear. It's a huge mess. What if we laid out some alphabet cards and we pointed to them? And so really between 1850 and 1870, that's happening in the background. And then suddenly they merge. About 1886 is where we get the date of the talking board sweeps northern Ohio and causes all kinds of problems. And then, you know, quickly 4 years later, we're at 1890, that's Ouija. So you can see it happening quickly. And
now, wait a minute. What do you mean it starts a bunch of problems? What type of problems started early on in Ouija's world?
In 1886, this talking board article talks about this man who he works in New York, and he goes back and forth on the railroad, and he is just sick and tired of coming home and seeing his wife and his kids not doing any of their chores, just playing this thing and it getting ridiculous answers. So he takes them and he burns them up. And that's like the beginning of burn your Ouija board. And this is pre-Ouija. The name doesn't exist yet. They're just talking boards and witch boards. And so people are already irritated. And in this article in 1886, really, it gives you how to make one. Because, you know, in 1886, people made things themselves. They weren't as big on brands the way we are today. And it just made sense. There's just letters, numbers, and symbols. You could make this yourself. So people were. And the directions gave everyone, okay. And that's that article that gets picked up by the Associated Press and blasted everywhere, all over the world. It allows people to figure it out and really see how to do it, make it personal.
Now, it's interesting to me, and we're going to talk about the collision of Hollywood and horror with the Ouija board, but it really does seem to have it's taken a dark turn. It's the popularity of it has taken a much more sinister sidebar, if you will. But for years, it was this fun party game, right? It was featured on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post and an image that was created by Norman Rockwell. There were popular songs of the era. It's appeared on TV shows and in movies and on Broadway plays. So it's always been part of our world. But the dark element, which I think is interesting, there are so many products out in the marketplace, Bob, that everybody is PC, politically correct, and worried about how this might affect and impact sales of that item or other items that they create. But Ouija seems, even in the most controversial times, to keep dodging that bullet, Bob. As a matter of fact, they released pink Ouija boards that look like Barbie boards. They've released other rock and roll versions, right? Ozzy Osbourne had one, and some of the other legendary bands have had versions of it. Horror movies, TV shows, Supernatural, they've all had versions of this, and it, although there's still controversy over it, it seems like, you know, the board game company just takes it in stride and just keeps pumping out new versions. Why do you think that it survives beyond the hatred and fear that does exist for it at this point?
I think it's a great question, and Hasbro loves this answer. So Hasbro is the current manufacturer. They own the rights to it. And I occasionally get to consult with them, which is always fun. And I worked on the movies as well, so I'm part of that. Like, I'm part of the problem, making it scary, because that's what people want. And we look for those things. The other thing is it dodges the bullet, because the Ouija board is most people's first on-purpose experience with the paranormal. It's the first time a kid or anybody may have been reaching out. They may have heard something before. They may have seen something before. But this time they're asking people, is there anyone out there? And that's different. And I think because that is most people's first experience with the paranormal, it's hard to say it's evil, especially when you look at the numbers. Right. The numbers don't lie. So, you know, if we look at how many people are really affected by the Ouija board, lots of people say it, but when the proof comes down, it doesn't play out that way.
I know I've been in front of groups as small as 50 up to 5,000, and I've asked, how many people here have honestly played with a Ouija board at some point? And you could see about half the audience raises their hand. And I know that there's about another quarter of the audience that wants to, but are afraid they're going to be judged. And I'll call them on that, and I'll say, baloney, I bet more of you have played with a Ouija board. And the fact is that, you know, your fears can control possible outcomes, bringing these intentions and fears to it. Hey, are the spirits going to mess with you? Are they going to have fun with you because they know you're frightened? And that's what you're really there to do. Like you said, we're all trying to have that experience. We're calling forth things to have something happen that's beyond our normal ken, right? So it's, to me, it's always fascinating. And I tell people, don't walk in this place of fear. And for all of you that played with it, how many really horrible things ever happened after you played with a Ouija board? And not many. Right. Some were terrified. Well, I had this go on. And right. But I mean, there was a storm going on outside. That's why you were playing it. Could the lights have gone out because of the storm? Well, yeah, I guess so. Funny input and concepts. We're going to talk more with Bob. We're going to discuss more of the Hollywood influence on Ouija and Ouija's influence on Hollywood. And we'll do that next right here on the Paranormal 360. All right, Bob, the Ouija board has started to gain this popularity for being something that frightens people. And it's interesting to see, I'll watch people will write to me about this program and say, I will not listen because you're even discussing Ouija board. And I thought, well, isn't that silly? Because it's something you're afraid of. The more I educate myself about something I'm afraid of, the less fearful I become. And I learn through these moments. And I hope people take that into concept, you know, that anything, and I tell them about this, are you in the paranormal? Yes, and I love the paranormal. You realize that by just calling out to the air in a haunted location for the spirits to knock on the wall, you're just as guilty as if you put your hands on a planchette of doing the exact same divination. It's just in a different nature. It's because Ouija board has a better press agent, both good and bad. And that's why you guys have this sense of dread. But my audio recorder essentially is a digital Ouija board, right? I'm asking questions and I'm holding it out to the air for something to respond to me. My pendulum, my dowsing rods. Am I wrong? Or is Ouija something completely different than what everybody else is using?
No, I agree. I think, you know, ideomotor response, or what scientists would say is what's happening, is it's the small muscle, the movements in your muscles that are allowing this to go fluid because you want it to work. So that's, you know, a kind of really easy version to understand. And it's true. Our hands move. Our muscles don't want to stay still. And when we set them in motion, they tend to do what we want them to do, even subconsciously. But this goes back to 1886, because what's funny to me is when paranormal investigators say, oh, no Ouija boards, it's like, wait a minute, this was one of the original things a spiritualist, a really direct relative of any paranormal investigator, this is what they used. They used it up until this article came out. Once the article came out, it did something to mediums who had a great business. You know, they had advertisements. They're listed in late 1800s inside of address books. The problem is you had to pay these people. It was a good business. Mm-hmm. Then the Ouija board is being sold for $1.25 and $1.50, and you can do this in your home as many times as you want. Well, that didn't sit very well. And very quickly, we see these spiritualists all using the talking boards. But when this comes out, suddenly they say, Ouija boards and talking boards are bad things. Be careful. You need someone who has experience to lead you through this unseen land. Meaning basically, pay me, don't pay it. And that caught on. And I'm not saying it's not wrong. I'm just telling people where it comes from originally. And Ouija is always about money, 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 whether it's a lawsuit from people suing it or whether it's the originators all wanting a bigger piece of the pie, always about money.
Funny, right? And that's a lot of the take on the religious aspect of divination, right? Is the church wants you to come to them to get answers through God, through Jesus, through Mother Mary. So they're going to, of course, throw shade at something that could, you know, draw you away. If you can get answers without the church, you know, that upsets the apple cart. So a lot of this does have to do with popularity and money.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And again, it's always funny. So I'll tell you a quick story. The Folds, William Fold, he made the Ouija board from him and his family from he started in 1890, became his business in 1901, and they sold in 1966. So his name is on this box for a very long time. His wife was Catholic. She got a lot of crap. Supposedly, this is the family story that they told me, when she would go to church. He was Presbyterian, so he didn't go. And she would come home and tell him, yeah, really not a great day. That's all they want to talk about is my husband's the devil making Ouija boards, and I'm here sitting in, you know, this church, not really fun. So he goes and talks to them and supposedly says to the priest, hey, if you really think these things are evil, I'll stop making them, but I got to be honest with you. We've been making them a long time, never had anything horrible, bad happen, not even remotely. And I don't use it or see it that way. I just make it as a game and an amusement. And he said, the priest, well, that's fine. Then you can continue to make them. We would appreciate a very large donation every year. And every year until he died in 1927, they made that donation. Shortly after, his kids took over. And when his kids took over, they decided, why are we paying this? This is ridiculous. They stopped paying it. And shortly afterwards, the local area churches start coming out against the Ouija board. And then it picks up speed. So we start to see real national and then kind of bigger worldwide movements against it, which again, money.
Right. Now, my understanding, which you're kind of shining a light on, was always that the Ouija board was pretty well accepted. And of course, there's going to be bad press from time to time, but what really kind of flipped the script literally on the Ouija board and its popularity was, what, about 15 seconds in a movie called The Exorcist?
Yeah, this little teeny scene that just kind of you know, blows up the thing, and they don't focus on it. The great thing about the movie, and I've had many conversations before William Blatty passed away, I know that someone would ask that that about this, and it was really a visual way for him to show that this girl who was being somewhat ignored by her mother, didn't really know what was going on, cared more about her being an actress, then knowing what her daughter was doing, that's how she becomes possessed. Now, they don't say that. They just show it real, like you said, real quick. That causes everyone to believe, wait a minute. So if I play the Ouija board alone, I can become possessed by a demon. Ah, and, you know, right. The movie scared the hell out of the world.
Let everyone.
And it caused, by the way, got many articles right after that caused Ouija board sales. At the time, it was Parker Brothers. Zoom. I mean, like, couldn't go higher, couldn't go faster. So Parker Brothers, they didn't say it was okay to use it, but they didn't go after them because they sold a lot of boards. And, you know, that's ultimately what selling a product is about, too.
Didn't at one point, maybe I'm misremembering this, but didn't they at one point even embrace that on the box it said something like, it's just a game, isn't it? Almost like they were challenging you to think for yourself.
Yeah, especially early commercials. There's a great commercial from the early 80s. If for your listeners, it looks just like Jeff Belanger as a kid. It's creepy as hell. It really looks just like him. And it looks like him. And in it, they ask that question. Like they'll say, it's just a game, isn't it? And that becomes the key because Ouija never really falls anywhere. It's a game, but there's no winner. The rules are really simple. If there's any rules, the rules that people believe are way more introduced than the rules that are on the box. I don't think anyone reads the back of the box because it's just like, take it apart, put it down, put your fingers on it and ask a question. I mean, what we institute to make us feel better or just out of ritual, I think is what is more popular.
Right. And opening ceremonies, closed ceremonies, you know, ways exactly. to kind of, again, set intention. So that you're communicating in a way that's comfortable for you. You feel that there's a completion to the ceremony that you've just been a part of. So a lot of that, again, is a psychological element as opposed to these are the official rules. Because there's never been truly a rule book written for Ouija, has there?
I think a lot of people have tried, especially lately, especially now that you can self-publish. There's a lot of stuff being pumped out of there. But I tell everyone, you know, it's what works for you. This thing is basically a mirror. It's a reflection of you. It's a reflection of your intentions. It's a reflection of the mood you're in. It's a reflection of everything. You're throwing stuff at it, and you want stuff to come back. You're in a bad mood. You're going to get a really bad session. All of those things just happen and play into it, and that's the fun.
You know, I used to be in sales, and we used to sell those little impulse items at the grocery stores, and we got the Parker Brothers line of keychains. So there was like a little miniature game of Sorry, a little miniature game of Monopoly, and then there was the little miniature Ouija board in a drawer you'd open up with a miniature planchette, and we constantly had stores calling us back just to reorder that. They had to get the whole case. They couldn't get just the Ouija board, but they couldn't get enough of them. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we can't get enough. Let's find out more right here. Are you self-employed, a freelancer? Maybe you're just paying out of pocket for you or your family's health insurance. If so, you're probably overpaying by hundreds of dollars every month. Meet Keith, the insurance guy, a real problem solver who's helped families and small business owners save 29 to 51% on their health care without giving up quality care or switching providers. One happy client told us Keith saved our family $400 a month, and we didn't change a single doctor. With an open network, you'll see the doctors you know and trust. No referrals, no restrictions. Keith can also help companies as well as individuals nationwide. So call 612-230-5522 or visit KeithTheInsuranceGuy.com. Don't let your health plan drain your bank account. Keith can help you save starting today. Call or text 612-230-5522. 612-230-5522. Well, according to my magic eight ball, Bob, I ask time and time again, is the Ouija board evil? And it says, ask again later. But isn't my magic eight ball another divination tool? Isn't that another? Why does that not have such a bad rap?
I think it's a great question. I've very much been hit on this. I think actually, I'm trying to think of who a friend of mine. It will come to me while we're talking about this. Mike Zone from Oddities.
Oh, sure, the TV show Oddities, right?
He's always on this. Why is the Ouija board evil and this just not? What's the difference? And, you know, the difference is like a lot of years of stories. There have been so many generations that play with the Ouija board, make it their own, add their own time stuff to it, pass it on to the next generation. They do the same thing. So every year, and I mean every year, just working on the movies, we've created Ouija-stitions. That's what we call these things that people believe in. And, you know, they're great because they're new. But looking through the planchette's eye and seeing ghosts, that was created specifically for Ouija, the first movie. I was at a paranormal convention a week after that aired. Everyone was looking through the planchette as if that has always been how it's been. And that was huge for me because I'd never seen a Ouija station in the making. I've always researched when did they come from, who started them, what was going on. This thing, I got to say I was part of, and then I watched it give birth into the world. And to this day, you cannot tell someone. I just warn people, look out. There's like little things that stick out. You poke your eye out, you know. Right. I'm more worried about that.
So I'm watching TV. I settle in for a day, and I decide I'm going to go back to a favorite childhood TV program, Lost in Space. And I pick a random episode. I can't remember. It was like Space Ghost episode. I can't remember the title of it, but something about it caught my eye. And I start watching it, and lo and behold, I've watched this series over the last 57 years, Bob. I must have seen the series completely 20 times. How do I not remember Dr. Smith breaking out a Ouija board? Oh, young Will, let's communicate with the other side, right? And there's a Ouija board that they use in the series. How many more surprise appearances by Ouija board are there in popular pop culture TV programs we probably have forgotten about?
Hundreds. I mean, hundreds. I try to track this. This is just a fun thing for me. Right. I try to track them, and I try to collect the boards from the TV shows and movies. And it's crazy. The reason you don't remember it is because Ouija is everywhere. It's in almost every horror movie somewhere, even if it's just sitting on the shelf. If you look carefully, I think Gone Girl. Like, so his sister, if I remember this right, is a bartender, and they're big into games. Every time they show that bar where he goes to visit and talk to her sister, there is a Ouija board in the pile. They're everywhere. So you saw it, you just don't remember it because it's like saying, I don't remember seeing black. Well, there's black everywhere. And that's what happens with Ouija. But once you think about it, it's everywhere. So now you are going to see it in everything. And now, for your listeners, he sees it everywhere anyway. He sends them to me all the time. So that he is a huge help with my cataloging. Because every now and then I'll get a, hey, did you see this on Pawn Stars? Or did you see this on, it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but you'd think on classic shows like Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, the Ouija board would show up. But that never happened, right?
Yeah, well, Bewitched, absolutely. I tell people all the time, no, there's no episode. There's no episode. Sure enough, there is an episode with it. But don't read the back of the box. The back of the box will tell you what's on the wrong episode. I've gone through that as well. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. It tells you, oh, it's on, you know, this disc episode, whatever. And it's not. If you keep looking. And I think that's why a lot of people, when they researched, thought it wasn't there. I just went back and said, wait a minute. That's a little strange that they would make that big of a mistake that it wouldn't be there. But it's in Bewitched. I mean, it's in House. There's an episode where these little kids use a Ouija board and it says he's cursed. And then all of a sudden this kid starts coming down with the craziest illnesses and he believes he's cursed. And I mean, the fun thing about Ouija is it is used by Hollywood to show so many different things. You know, it could be a straight possession like The Exorcist, or it could just try to prove in the power of your mind like House. They really went out that from he believes he was cursed, therefore he was actually getting these diseases. They were manifesting themselves, but just from his mind.
Hey, spoiler alert, Bob. Not all of us have seen the episode yet.
Sorry.
am I hallucinating this? I could have sworn, and I've tried to find it again, didn't Lucille Ball use a Ouija board on like I Love Lucy or Here's Lucy or one of those shows?
It's in the first season. I want to say it might be episode 3. It might be 4. I think the name of the episode is called Seance, and it is hilarious because as anything, they do not look at the Ouija board as evil. And that is very typical of the time. So for people who believe Ouija boards have always been evil, that's not necessarily true. that's something that's newer in its life that more people mm-hmm. think it's dangerous. But early on, there were people who were claiming it was bad. And again, out of religious beliefs or out of you were hitting someone's pocketbook. But there were stories really early 1890s to 1901, people committing suicide using the Ouija board, doing what it said. That's the big one that I tell everybody is, like, don't give the Ouija board power. You wouldn't give it to another person in your life. So if you're one of those people who really says, wait a minute, what am I doing here? Why would you possibly do what something you don't know what it is or who it is? Why would you do what it tells you to do? I mean, that's like going on the train. I used to live in Boston and jumping on the red line. If I did everything that someone told me to do on the red line before I got to my next stop, I would have killed someone else, killed myself. I would have like peed on everybody. I mean, all these things would have happened. And of course I wouldn't do those things because it's like crazy. And yet when you sit at the Ouija board and you put your fingers and it starts to move, something different happens. You want to respond. You want to believe it's either who you believe it is or that it's, you know, that it's telling you the truth and it's making it helpful. But I would just warn you, don't do that. That's literally crazy. It don't care enough about yourself that you decide what you do. And if it sounds good and it's something you would normally do, that's great. That's probably where it's coming from. But if it's something you would not normally do and puts you in a dangerous place or gets you in trouble, don't do that.
You're right. And I love the fact that you're saying, don't let it get the power over you. Don't give up your power. I always tell people, and even Gary Galka, Bill Chappell, Frank Sumption, anybody that created paranormal investigative tools that talk or communicate, I said, what do you do when something dark or weird happens? They said, I turn it off and put it away. So I always tell people, here's what you do. If Ouija starts giving you answers you don't like, put it back in the box, put it on the shelf, and for a little irony, put it right under the game of life. So that it remembers its place. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more Bob Merch and more Ouija right after this. Okay, Bob, let's start off with some of the other surprise places. Like I said, I was surprised in a science fiction TV show, Lost in Space, to see a Ouija board make its presence known. What are some of the other shows that people maybe, you know, could go find and watch an episode that, you know, they would not have expected it?
Trying to think of something that would really surprise. I mean, none of it surprises me anymore because I've seen right. so much of it and I also own them. I'll have to send you a picture of my library that has built now. So I try to get a DVD or Blu-ray or VHS tape if that's some of them. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think because it's in everything. Touched by an Angel. Who would have thought? There's an episode of Touched by an Angel. I believe it's the crossover episode where there's that spinoff family that goes off for a little bit. It's like somehow they are involved. They use a Ouija board and, you know, it sets off again a series of things that can go wrong. But I mean, it's in horror movies. A great one is, I just lost the name of it, but you'll know it. It's where they use it to give messages, but it's not from the other side. They use it as a device to talk to people who cannot talk. And it's with, it's with, I can't think his name too. He passed away. Who's the great Mork and Mindy?
Oh, Robin Williams.
So Robin Williams was in it. Robert De Niro was in it.
Sure. That Awakenings.
Awakenings. That, so there's a very typical, literally right on his thing. That's what they use. They help him move. And that's the beginning of a lot of people who need assisted communication. They start with a Ouija board and then create different boards. Hawkins, his first communication device was a Ouija board. I'm still trying to get that one for my exhibit, so who knows?
Well, I will let you know, Bob, that we used the Ouija board. When I was filming the show, The Holzer Files, we were going to the Franklin Castle in Ohio, and there were all these crazy stories, and it had been used for many different uses throughout its history. And part of it was that it was housing for like college kids and boarding houses. And people used to play with the Ouija board there because of the ghosts that are known to be there. And I contacted you. I contacted Karen Dahlman, a few of my friends that are big into the paranormal and Ouija boards. And I'm like, theoretically, can I close down all these past versions of, you know, cases that have been opened? And I love that you were so open. You're like, yeah, man, do that. That'd be great. You're putting your intention out there, manifesting, try to help these spirits go back if that's really what brought them here. And that excited me and excited the crew. And I remember you going, but Dave, people are going to hate you for using the Ouija board on a paranormal show. And I said, I know. That's why I want to do it, because I want to turn it on its ear. We're not bringing it in to communicate and open a dialogue. We're going to bring it in to try to heal, to try to help. And that we, in that episode of the Franklin Castle, which was, I think the episode's called The Final Word of the Holzer Files, we capture, I think, one of the best apparitions we've ever captured. I can't blame it on the crystal gazer board that I used, but it was an amazing episode all the way around. And I've got that signed now by Shane Pittman, Cindy Keza, and myself, and we're going to be donating that to you and your church, your museum. It's kind of a church.
There's definitely no church of merch. That does not exist.
Church of merch.
It's definitely not only yet. In here.
Yeah, we will. But I'm sure plenty of people wanted to crucify you over the use of Ouija board, though. So you're already fitting into the religious aspects of this.
Absolutely. Many people.
We've only got a few minutes left. What are some of your favorite stories regarding the Ouija board?
Well, you know, I get contacted quite a bit. And luckily, John Kozik, one of my best friends, he runs the Salem Witch Board Museum in Salem, Massachusetts. That's the first location. You can also visit it in Baltimore, the Baltimore Witch Board Museum. We are getting so many, which is great, in person, and people are able to videotape their stories so we can actually use them and go back. I mean, I've heard serious stories like that have taken me back by surprise, because mostly it's a lot of laughing with Ouija because it says crazy things. And I've also seen just a bunch of younger people scream and yell because it told them the color of their car or whatever it is. So, I mean, there's a huge, you know, it's big. It's a big story.
I love that it has sway even over social media. There's a couple of my favorite TikTok videos where the father's in the basement by the power board, and he hears the kids are playing the Ouija board and are asking questions, and he flips the switches and turns the power off, and they all start freaking out. But you work with movies and TV and different projects that want to use the Ouija board. Have you ever had them come to you and say, Bob, weird things started happening when we were using that on set?
Yeah, on set, I get lots of stories. And because I collect these boards, I try to put them with them. So even though it's, you know, maybe a prop board, it was made just for the movie, it still works just like a regular Ouija board. And so I will hear all that stuff and I get so excited. They send it to me. I put their stories with it and I'm like, perfect. Now I'm going to see something crazy in my own house. Nothing. They don't not like me, Ouija boards. I think they like me because I saved them and I helped them and I've helped kind of, you know, get their history out there and stuff. But they don't like me enough to, you know, possess me or do any of that other stuff. Honestly, it's pretty boring. It's usually fun. I always tell people, ask for the lottery numbers, for the love of God. Just ask for the lottery number. I want you to win. I want you to win. Everyone wants you to win. Ouija wants you to win. And if you did it, I want that Ouija board afterwards because it will go into this museum.
Do you have celebrities that come forward and admit that they played the Ouija board or have donated one of their boards to you?
I finally, this is after 25 years. I will write this story. It happened last year. I was supposed to get the board from What Lies Beneath. I worked on that movie in 1999, and they said I was going to get it. It turns out it got lost. 25 years later, someone comes to me with it. And it's the board. It's the same one they signed on set for me. And I was really excited to get that set. But I trained Michelle Pfeiffer how to use the board for that movie. And we scared her. So that is my biggie board of, because it's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right. Well, Bob, as always, thank you so much. We do have links on today's program guide so you can find out more information. The Ouija board didn't just survive the rise of horror films and pop culture. It fed it. And thanks to Robert Murch, we now know just how deep the roots do go, from spiritualist seances to silver screen scares and everything in between. If you thought the Ouija board was just a gimmick in your grandma's attic, think again. It shaped belief, inspired fear, and depending on who you ask, opened doors that maybe should have stayed shut. A big thanks to Bob Murch for guiding us through the history and hysteria. But hold tight, darklings, the weird is just getting started. In hour two, Varla Ventura joins me to unravel a paranormal literary bombshell, a novel dictated through the Ouija board by none other than the ghost of Mark Twain. Yeah, that Mark Twain. Is it madness, marketing, or a masterpiece from beyond the grave? That's next on the Paranormal 360 with Dave Schrader.